Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson, talking sports, having fun with you here on a Sunday night in New York City. Got the NBA Finals Game 7 on, got the Met game on, and meanwhile, in a brilliant stroke of counter-programming, we've been talking about some Yankees and some Knicks. And to talk about the Yankees, who won a series against an AL East opponent and took 2 out of 3 from the Orioles this weekend, we bring in Dave Lennon, baseball columnist for Newsday. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm doing just fine. I wanted to start off with, obviously, it was for a game that was 4-2 out at the stadium today, I sort of thought it had everything. It was a lot of fun things that we don't usually see. And I'll start with Shoeless Jazz Chisholm, who ran out of his shoes at a play at the plate. And just in general, what is the Jazz impact, Jazz effect on the Yankees? You see him, the team scuffling, they can't score a run. It's a Jazz Chisholm home run that snaps them out of it today in a rubber game of a series against the division opponent. And it's Jazz who, I don't want to say single-handedly, but really propelled the offense today. What is the Jazz effect on this team?
Well, the impact was quite literal today, Lori, for people that saw the game. When you had Chisholm score the first run, he basically knocked the Orioles starting catcher, Maverick Hanley, out of the game. Came around rounding third, ran right out of his right cleat, and Hanley was up the line to get the bad throw, and Jazz was kind of trying to avoid him. It was a crazy collision. I mean, Hanley was like horizontal trying to get the ball, and like Jazz spun him around like a helicopter practically. Ball went flying. And then by the time Jazz crossed the plate, we were looking at him, he was in his stocking feet. Both of his shoes were gone as he was walking back to the dugout. And then the umpire pointed to this thing near the plate. I thought it was like an elbow pad or something. It was his cleat. The umpire was like, "Hey, you forgot something." So Jazz turned around, came back, grabbed it, and went back. And that was one of the many entertaining Jazz things that happened today. But, Roy, the baseball part of it has been big for them. I mean, Jazz has really kind of added a spark and an athleticism they really haven't had. I know the numbers, have kind of been up and down. Since he's been back from the IL, we certainly see a bigger upswing. But, he had some speed. He gives you some pop, like he did today, where he hit that double, line drive off of the bullpen, the wall of the Yankees bullpen. Plus, he's the best quarter on the team by far. So he just brings such a huge package to them. That it's really entertaining to watch, and they need every bit of what you could do today, sure.
Having a little bit of a hard time hearing you. I don't know if there's another spot you can stand in with your cell. It was a little hard.
Let me see.
Oh, that was good.
Was that better?
Yeah, that was better.
Okay. All right, good.
Whatever that is. Yeah.
Okay.
I got the gist of it, but it was coming in and out a little bit. The other, maybe subtle play from today, but in a 4-2 game, when we look at this Yankees team and where they want to go, what does it mean when a player like Paul Goldschmidt, who is, he's a future Hall of Fame player in his mid to late 30s at this point in his career, and having a good season for the team, And with Giancarlo Stanton back now and Aaron Boone kind of juggling the lineup, wants to get Ben Rice a game in there. And to have a player of Paul Goldschmidt's caliber on the bench and go to him late in the game and say, you're going to be a pinch runner. And ultimately, 37-year-old Paul Goldschmidt, you know, who's not a, it's not like he's a burner, he's just a really smart base runner, comes in as a pinch runner, future Hall of Famer, comes in as a pinch runner, and ultimately, I mean, smart move, scores the go-ahead run.
Yeah, you bring up a couple interesting points in the slate.
You're breaking up again. I don't know.
I don't know what's happening tonight. This is usually a pretty safe spot. Is it still bad?
Now it's good again. I don't know. Anyway,
okay,
we'll keep trying.
Sorry about that, Lori. You bring up a number of interesting points when you mentioned ultimate position on the team right now, which has changed quite a bit. It's, you know, the return of Giancarlo Stanton, you know, the emergence of Ben Rice. So they have about, you know, he's now in a rotation, if you count the two catchers, of six players that kind of need to play, and I count Jason Dominguez as well in the DH spot. So it shouldn't be tough to find playing time for a guy of Goldschmidt's stature. He will get most of the regular turns, but as you saw today, this is the second day in a row that he wasn't in the starting lineup. And he, as he said afterwards, when that happens, I assume I'll be a factor in the game later. I'll go in for defense or to pinch hit. He's like, I've never been a pinch runner before. So when he went into pinch run for Stanton in the eighth inning, you know, he was as surprised as anybody else when we saw him come out there. But as we talked to him after the game, and as Jazz Chisholm mentioned, when he said he was coming up the Diamondback system, everybody talked about Goldschmidt as a guy who did everything right. And that included base running. He was just a very technical base runner. He wasn't fast, but he ran the bases the right way. And I think that's what you saw today. I thought it was a risky send, you know, sending 37-year-old Paul Goldschmidt trying to score from first base on a rocket off the center field wall. But the throw was a little up the line and Goldschmidt just got his foot in. So it worked out. I guess we'll see Goldschmidt more as a pinch runner going forward. as surprising as that sounds.
Are you I'm maybe not surprised, but are you? I understand that Anthony Volpe was supposed to have a scheduled day off, and that Aaron Boone stuck to that. But is there too much of a rigidity when you have a player like Volpe who has really been scuffling, finally finds something, has his first day, good day at the plate in ages yesterday, and is Aaron Boone a little too rigid? Or should he have been more flexible, and should Volpe be in the lineup, have been in the lineup on Sunday?
I mean, that's a great question, and one that we posed to Boone before today's game. I know he talked about giving him the day off before yesterday's happened, and he got the three hits. So he did kind of stick to that. He could have changed his mind. I don't have a huge problem with it. You know, I know that Boone had kind of set that aside as a day for him to clear his head. From time to time, as we're seeing with young players, that's not the worst idea. And again, if coming off a good game like that, it's not the worst thing for him to sit with that for a day, rather than even if he was going bad and having to sit with it. So I don't mind sitting him on the positive there. It's a long season. Volpe's been an interesting case. It's really been difficult to get him on track. So this was just a case of Boone trying something different. Maybe see if he could just kind of regroup, you know, after getting a chance to exhale, and we'll see if that works out going forward.
Talking to Dave Lennon from Newsday, and Yankee bullpen did their job in this game. Will Warren did his job, and it looked dicey in the first inning with Warren gives up the two runs. It would have been three if not for the pickoff, and but yet then Will Warren turns around and after starting, you know, kind of poorly, makes an in-game adjustment. The next thing you know, it's 6 1/3, two runs. What are we learning about Will Warren?
Well, we'll first say that was probably one of the dumbest pickoffs that you'll ever see in a baseball game. I mean, we were just stunned. I mean, you have the guy on the ropes, and for that to happen, it was crazy. But aside from that point, it was nice play from the Yankees' perspective. But, you know, Warren has really shown some growth here. You know, they've really needed to lean on him, obviously, with the state of the rotation, with the two huge injuries. All but three with Stroman being knocked out too, you know, with Cole and Heedle. So they needed someone to step up. They went deep into their depth chart to get Warren, and he's really, you know, done a pretty decent job for them from a couple big glitches. You know, today was the case where if you have a young pitcher relatively inexperienced and he goes through that first inning like he did, you figure he bums out of that game after 2 1/3 or something. Instead, he moves into the seventh inning and changes everything for them. Especially because with Yarbrough out now, you know, they're going to Allen Winans tomorrow in Cincinnati. So, again, another guy who's being called, not a young guy, he's 27, and he has had some experience with the Rays a few years ago. So, did some games, but even still, you know, now at least Boone has the backup of the bullpen. Case singles, by the way.
Yeah,
sideways with Winans.
It's a little spotty on the audio.
I'm sorry, Gloria. I don't know what. I don't know if he picked knocking things out or what. This is very odd.
Yeah, that is odd. Because I have you on all the time. It's always good. I wanted to ask you about Gary Sanchez, Francisco Alvarez. I know you wrote an article about that.
How about this? Is this any better?
Much better.
Okay. All right. Maybe there was some. I had headphones connected to it, so. Maybe that's what could have screwed it up. All right, good. My apologies.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. Okay.
Talking to Dave Lennon from Newsday. I do want to get to that. I know you wrote a story about Gary Sanchez, and mm-hmm. I just think in light of the Mets sending Francisco Alvarez down to the minors today, you know, that Gary Sanchez, obviously with the Yankees, was the catching phenom, and the career didn't quite pan out the way we all thought it would when he was a rookie. What can we learn from the Gary Sanchez experience as you look at the Mets and Francisco Alvarez?
Yeah, and I think that's probably, you know, when Alvarez kind of came up with the Mets, Laura, I think that's the guy we first thought of, right? You know, being in New York, and Gary Sanchez was this power-hitting catcher with all this sky-high potential. And he really kind of burst on the scene in much the way that Alvarez did. I mean, his first, when he finished second for Rookie of the Year, Sanchez I'm talking about now, I think he hit 22 home runs, 21 home runs in his first season. Alvarez hit 25, you know, really made his mark. And really, everybody was ready to anoint this guy, you know, the next Mike Piazza. And I'm speaking of, you know, Alvarez and Sanchez in that manner. But the problem with being a power hitting catcher or being a catcher you're trying to make into a big offensive player is that both things are extremely hard to do at the major league level. And every team have to fit a great bat into a catcher's role because it's just an area in the lineup where you don't usually get that, you know, Cal Raleigh excluding, obviously. He's a special case. But, you know, that's the unicorn thing the teams are trying to do. So in Sanchez's case, you know, they were really trying to stick a guy who was not very good defensively, a lead on, but just not good at receiving the ball, not good at blocking the ball, caused a lot of problems with him. And while the bat continued for a couple years, 33, 34 home runs, the defense became costlier and costlier, and really the expectations started crushing him, and eventually, you know, he got traded out of town. Now, with Alvarez, you can head down that same road, and I think we've seen him really struggle, especially this past week. You know, he had a swing makeover during the winter, didn't get a chance to really get used to that because he broke the bone in his wrist, so he was behind in that. So I think what the Mets were hoping to do is that he would continue his development at the major league level. He would get his swing back at the major league level. Obviously, that hasn't happened. And when the defensive miscues started kicking in this week in Atlanta, throwing behind the runner and that costly play, changing up the pitch selection with Reed Garrett, which wound up with Marcell Ozuna's three-run double that changed that. Then the doubt starts creeping in. And once you have a young player, he's only 23 years old, once the doubt starts creeping in and the confidence starts to get eroding, I think then you have to rethink things. I thought maybe the Mets would give him a little more time after what he did last night in Philly. I thought maybe that was a little bit of a spark, but I think they were too far down that road. Like I mentioned with Volpe, maybe they thought this was a case where, you know what, we'll send him down off that last memory here, work on some things down there, get your swing tuned up, get the confidence back, which is a huge thing for young players. And I think Alvarez will be back and will be a productive, promising young player again. He just wasn't that kind of player right now.
Yeah, actually, I was impressed that the Mets decided to do this, to send him down, because I think sometimes teams can have a stubbornness about them. And it clearly wasn't working, and I think it's something that will be best for both the player and the team in the long run to make a move like this.
Yeah, I think they were worried about sending him down because of the effect it might have. You know, I mean, he's always been a very upbeat guy in the clubhouse, certainly comfortable with the team, you know, great with his teammates, you know, great with the pitching staff. And I think they were worried that it would just kind of rock his world a little bit too much and kind of throw him off. But eventually, when you have the problems at the major league level, and I forgot to add, Laurie, for a team that wasn't winning, you know, I mean, they had a pretty rough week. So I think combined with where he was at as far as what he could contribute, I think they came to the realization that a move had to be made.
Yeah. Final one before I let you go is just Yankees and Mets both suffered through a bad stretch over the past couple weeks. Yankees seem to be kind of coming out of it. Mets had a big breakout game yesterday, and then, you know, here we are tonight in the rubber game, and David Peterson, who was usually so reliable, Mets are losing 5-0. And how do you look at when a team, you know, baseball, you've been covering it, I don't know, how many years, Dave, have you been covering baseball?
I think it's pretty close to 30 at this point.
Okay, so
feels long when I say it like that. Wow, yeah. That's a long time.
So for a while, so call it almost 30 years that you've been covering baseball, and it's 6 months of the regular season, 162 games, spring training, if you're lucky and it goes well, the postseason. But 162-game regular season, when you look at the Mets and Yankees, who both played really good baseball and, you know, played really well, the results, the record there for the first few months of the season, both scuffling recently. As I said, Yankees seem to be pulling out of it, but Mets right in the throes. How much do you look at this and say, it's just baseball, it's going to have the ebbs and flows? And for both teams, how much do you look at it and say, there are some real cracks here, there are areas to be concerned about? In the case of, let's say, the Mets, some recent starting pitchers who now have gone on the injured list. And if you are Brian Cashman, you know, David Stearns, do you look at this and say, it's just baseball, 162-game season? Or, hey, as we approach the trade deadline, serious concerns here?
Well, I mean, starting with the Yankees, I was probably more shocked by their week just because of the teams that they had played. I did not expect the Angels to come in here and take 3 out of 4 from them. Not only that, I didn't expect the Yankees to get shut out in 3 straight games, starting with that Sunday loss at Fenway against the Red Sox team that kind of righted their season against the Yankees that weekend. So the disappearance of the offense, you know, really stunned me. I wasn't as concerned with the Yankees, though, because of the pitching staff they have in place. You know, they have Max Fried, they have Carlos Rodon, they have Clark Schmidt, who's looked great recently. As I just mentioned, with Will Warren, has pitched well. Yarbrough, they'll figure out what to do with the fifth spot. The offense disappearing for a week, I'm not too concerned. That'll come back. I mean, Judge just basically vanished for about the past 11 games. I was looking over the numbers. Judge, I think, was hitting about 180 with 2 home runs and 2 RBIs in the past 11 games with like 20 strikeouts and 37 at-bats. That's crazy for him. I can't expect that to continue for any prolonged period of time. Maybe this is just kind of a market correction for him. So I think they'll have the pieces there. I think Brian Cashman will go out and do what he usually does. He'll get a bullpen piece come the trade deadline. He'll kick around the starting pitcher market. I think that's going to be a competitive one, as it usually is. So I don't think they need a ton, the Yankees, along those lines. The Mets, I expected to struggle this week only because of the people who they were playing. The Braves, obviously, always trouble in Atlanta, and the Phillies, of course. But it's the rotation that really worries you, because you just don't have – you feel like the foundation is starting to crack a little bit. And I know you have people coming back. You know, hopefully they get Manaea back fairly soon. Montas is supposed to make his debut on Tuesday. You're talking about a guy that had a 13 ERA at Syracuse, so who knows what to expect there. Peterson was concerning tonight, but Phillies are a good hitting team, tough ballpark to pitch in. That's going to happen for Peterson eventually, who was pitching great. So of the two, you know, I feel a little bit more confident about the Yankees right now, only because of the rotation really gives them some bedrock there. And I think that's going to be an area of concern for the Mets. I think they're going to have to be aggressive, I think, in the starting pitchers market, seeing what happens when Manaea comes back. And also, they'll have to probably maybe look at center field, I think, would be an area that could probably help them as well.
All right, truly last one then. You mentioned Clark Schmidt. Any thoughts or reminiscing about the days when we left starting pitchers in games when they were working on a no-hitter? I understand why the Yankees took him out. It made total sense. But just, does it leave you longing for bygone era when guys would get a chance to complete a no-hitter?
Well, I remember one that happened across town not too long ago, with a guy named Johan Santana.
Never the same.
Terry Collins.
It was never the same.
Never the same after that. Yeah. And that, you know, that's a cautionary tale, of course, and a tough thing that Terry has trouble with to this day, doing that. You know, it was a pretty rough time for everyone involved, despite what it meant for the organization, for, you know, obviously for a team that never had a no-hitter before. So that's what I always think of. You know, it's when that was happening with Schmidt, I wasn't at the game yesterday, but when I had saw what happened, I was like, oh, man, I remember going down the same road not too long ago. I think, you know, this day and age, Lori, you're right. That is a missing part. I'd love to see him throw 125 pitches and try to finish off the no-hitter. I think that's really a big missing element of baseball. I mean, how great was it, you know, when you had David Peterson throw the complete game shutout? Yeah. On the last homestand, because you forget how much fun that is. Mm-hmm. you know when a guy kind of just goes the distance like that, because we've just written it off as like not even part of the sport anymore. It happens on the very rare occasion, but it used to be, even if guys didn't finish it off, they really kind of gave it their all to do it, and they were allowed to. But different era, starting pitch is expensive, it's a fragile commodity. And I totally get it. You know, you can't fault the Yankees for doing what they did. I wouldn't fault any team for doing what they do now, especially for the Yankees' case, given, you know, after they lost Yarbrough and the injury situation they already have, Schmidt's way too valuable. But like Boone said, that the landscape of the team didn't even really dictate that. It was more about making sure that Schmidt stayed healthy. And when I did see the highlights of the game and I watched his last inning, he was losing it. You know, he was clearly getting tired by then. And once the guy gets to that point, it really wasn't a hard decision at all, I don't think, for Boone to take him out.
All right. Dave Lennon from Newsday. Always appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
I'm going to fix those technical difficulties for next time, Lori. my apologies. Have a great show tonight.
All right. Ray and Mike, I know you want to talk some Knicks. You're on hold. We've got an NBA Finals Game 7, a Tyrese Halliburton injury knocking him out of the game and potentially knocking him out of next season. We'll see what happens. Is it an Achilles injury? You hate when you see something that is a non-contact injury. And so what does that mean for tonight, for this game? The Pacers hanging tough. It's 48-47 at the half. But what does it mean also for the New York Knicks and next season, potentially a window opening? The Mets are getting whacked on Sunday Night Baseball. And you heard Dave there. you know, how much of this with the Mets is it that it's 162-game season, ebbs and flows, teams go through good streaks, bad streaks, and how much of this is that the Mets starting rotation was carrying them for the first part of the season, and a lot of that depth is now injured, including Kodai Senga, who had been their, obviously, their ace and best pitcher. 888-808-1019. Ray and Mike, I see you. Quick break. You guys are first up. Be right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.